was on Friday, and but he came over yesterday and worked on the stand up here and on that squeak. So just now I stepped back where it usually squeaked, and I think he might have gotten it. So we're thankful for that. Every visiting minister that comes complains about our squeak up here. But I'm glad I heard Brother Mike, third Sunday, mention that over on Gardenia at our church over there on Old School had a squeak in like that. So that just means that pulpit's being used. So thankful to Brother John for that. Keep him in your prayers as well. God will bless his life and things that he may be going through right now. The sixth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, the first 10 verses of that, I'm going to skip past that, but it goes through children and fathers and parents, servants, masters. And then finally, it says, in fact, it has the word finally in the 10th verse, finally, here. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. All of this here is talking about here and now. It's talking about our lives here. It's not eternal. It's as a result of that. Let me grab one verse real quick. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the victory eternally already. We have that. And it does not matter. I would love to have 10 times the number of visitors we have today. And regular members just to that God would comfort them through a message of salvation, but it doesn't make any difference eternally. They're saved by Jesus, by the blood of Christ, by his sacrifice and death, burial, and resurrection, and that sacrifice offered to God only and accepted by God only, and then we were made accepted. So we have that victory. So as we think of this in a moment in speaking about the whole armor of God and thinking of who might wear an armor, being a soldier, and then, well, if you're going to do that, you're probably going to be in some warfare. Again, this is during our lives here. This is not physical warfare. I'll go ahead and get that out of the way. This is a spiritual warfare here. There's a warfare, but the eternal war, the battle, the war, that has been won by Jesus Christ. You will not stand before God in your sins ever. You will not stand before him in judgment again. We were declared just at the cross of Calvary and where Jesus Christ in our room instead. There's not any double jeopardy. I'm not going to pay that now for all the sins I've committed from now on or anything like that. Every one of them Christ died for. So that's put away. I hope that's clear. And so there's no conditions here that we must do this, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might and so on. If we don't put on the whole armor of God, I'll still be in heaven. I'm going to have some battles here that I will not win. I will not. There's so many subjects where, when I begin to try to preach, I say, well, I don't have any experience in this or that, so it's somewhat not difficult for me to preach on something, but if there's anything that I have experience in, believe it or not, it's the warfare that we have, the warfare in my members, when the creation of that new creature within me, I can say without question every single day. And I won't even say every waking moment, even when we sleep. We're still sinners laying there. But we have peace knowing that he gave us the victory that he won on Calvary. So we're given that. Praise Lord Jesus Christ for what he did for us and God's mercy upon us now for what we do to him. So finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Just about the time I start relying on me, my strength, I won't bother the Lord with this little thing. I'll handle this little problem. I fail. And then it typically gets worse, whatever it is. But if we stand in His power, let me go to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And let's read just a quick experience of Paul's. He talks, and he's got a problem here, and he in the sixth verse of the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool." Then he says in the seventh verse, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." We're to be humble. That's the mind. We're to put on the mind of Christ. That's whose mind we're to put on in our lives, to handle everything. And that's hard. In handling things in the church and dealing with things that come up, we're to handle things with the mind of Christ. We're to do that. We're to handle things with mercy and with love. But we do, it's the church of Jesus Christ. We have to do things in the right way. It's worth it. This is the bride of Christ. This is the bride of Christ. Again, if someone, and there are ones that will never set foot in a Primitive Baptist church. Jesus Christ died for them if, in fact, they were chosen before the world began. They're okay. I want to keep reminding you. I don't want it to be misunderstood here. But we're not to be exalted. And so Paul was given something here. And he says in the eighth verse, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So Paul prayed to God, "Remove this thorn from my flesh. Remove this from me. It's bothering him." It was every day. It was. Jesus Christ told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for in my strength is made perfect in weakness." His strength, His power. That's where we stand. I was looking at that song, "In Christ Alone," the very last score, the last verse. He call my name or He come again, I'll stand in His power alone. That's how we're going to win the battles here. And it's a constant warfare because I want to do it some other way. And in the church handling things, it's easy to handle things when you love someone and you care for them. It's like, okay, we're going to have mercy. But, maybe I don't like that fella so much. I'll use David Green as an example. No, I love Brother David. But you don't like him so much. They've done something wrong and have no mercy whatsoever. That's not the way to handle it. You have mercy through all. Look at God. He sees, and we should look at His work, His handling us, His handling. Washington, D.C., or wherever, here. We have enough problems in Fort Worth, Texas. But in Him doing that, first of all, we look at it through His sovereignty. He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He will do as He pleases, and we're not to understand all of it. Someone asks the hardest questions are when someone comes, "Well, why is this happening to me? Or this good person I know, my best friend, this is happening to her. She's suffering cancer," or whatever it is, and why it happens to good people. There's no answer. I could go back and say, "Well, the wages of sin is death," and all that, we're punished. But that's not, things just happen in life. We're frail, corruptible creatures. But when He does bless us, that should be the surprise. It isn't with me. Brother, I hope you don't mind, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff and I have talked and had some similar, outlooks on things. I feel like I have been spared so much in spite of myself because of my wife. And he expressed that. I truly feel that. That's not false. That there's no other reason. Well, it's just His mercy. It's God's mercy that we're not consumed. So thankful for that. But Paul here, let me get back to this. Paul he prayed thrice that he might depart from me, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He already dwells within you. He's taken up his abode. That's done. And now that's eternal. Your soul and spirit will immediately again know even a blink of time between your natural death of your body and your soul and spirit going on. It's eternal. You got it. But we stand here in Christ alone. I am weak, and then I am strong. Paul, so that's his experience there. So going back to Ephesians. So we stand, we've got that covered. We have warfare going on. He's talking to the brethren. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we have an instruction here, or commandment. If I don't follow that, then let's see, well, what happens if we put on the whole armor of God? Well, I may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And Satan, who is let loose, he doesn't come up to me and give me fair warning, okay, I'm about to do this. I'm about to sift you as wheat. I'm going to put you through something here, a test, a temptation. He doesn't do that. Satan, many times, it's that much in my face, but he's subtle, and he uses different ways, wiles, in that. The Greek word for wiles is methodia. And method is in there. We need to learn. So if we're going to do this, I want to learn. Okay, I may be able to withstand against the wiles of this devil. So what are those wiles? How does he do that? And so what method does he use? The Greek word is method, but it's trickery. Lie in wait. He's just waiting. I may feel good right now, but he's just lying in wait. For me. He's here. And we'll see that in a moment. We'll see an example where he's right. He's right in the church. We all know this. I'm not preaching anything new to you, I hope. But I want to know how to more firmly and strongly stand against the wiles of the devil. But we're to put on the whole armor of God. I may not even get all the way down to these seven pieces of armor. The whole armor of God contains seven pieces listed here. I always think of the fruit of the Spirit. It's all in one package. You don't take one part of the fruit of the Spirit. But I can, and I have, put on only part of the armor of God. We're taught both to a couple times here at least, put on the whole armor of God. So as I continue here, and so the wiles here, and I think back even, and I think of the word to beguile, to deceive. And even back in Genesis chapter 3, Eve was beguiled by the serpent, by Satan. She was deceived. Now in Colossians, the second chapter, Colossians chapter 2, here is the word beguile, in fourth verse, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. The Apostle Paul is saying here, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So even being absent, he's beholding and joying in their order in that steadfastness in your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. There are those that might submit themselves to water baptism to enter into the kingdom of heaven here, the church, which represents that great kingdom of heaven in its entirety, but they may not walk in him. We have a different walk. I find myself straying. And that's when I have to put on the whole armor of God. And I'll mention to you again and in part commend you that you are serving as a great example to me. And we should all serve as an example, but we follow Jesus Christ and put on His mind and let that mind be in you and stand in the power of God Almighty in Jesus Christ. Seventh verse, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith. Ephesians chapter 6, first verse, begins with children. Rooted and grounded, established, that's the time. I feel certain, have no doubt that I'll be able to tell Brother Ronnie and Sister Sue that their children behaved fine here today. They're rooted and grounded, even in their natural behavior. Never had a problem with that, even Sister Deborah. Anyway, rooted and built up in Him, but it speaks of children in Ephesians 6:1, established in the faith as ye have been taught. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's got to be glorifying to God when we abound with thanksgiving to Him. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So I have said in the past, worded it that, that since Jesus Christ has handled, put away our sin. Hey, He has won the victory. He saved us eternally. That's done. I can. That's one thing in my life. I can check that off. That is done. I'll go on and say, so all I have to do is walk in faith, follow Jesus Christ. That's a full time job. That's a full time job. What? I don't know what I would be like outside of the church. I know that if I were out living outside of the church, I in my heart and soul, written there by God Himself, I would know that I'm still going to be in heaven. I still have that hope. But I'm not walking in Him and with Him. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain traditions of men, rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So Satan will use that, and this is in our own lives and in our minds. There are different avenues or attacks that Satan will use, and he'll use the one he knows your weak points. He knows mine. So now let me jump to John chapter 13, where we were for a little while last Sunday in our communion service. John chapter 13. Second verse begins, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Jesus Christ." So in the second verse, right here, having now done this, devil putting it in the heart of Judas Iscariot, as I mentioned last Sunday, this is the church gathered here. The devil put this right then in Judas Iscariot as the church was gathered together. I don't stop. How I wish that I could lay aside, if you will, physically, all of my sins, weaknesses, iniquities when I try to preach. But we still have them here. We still have them. And so we have to stand in Christ. We have to have the whole armor of God even here. Don't lay it out at the door. Okay, I'm good now. I'm in the church house, and I can lay that aside. No, we need it in here. So in the church here, the 12 gathered together with Jesus Christ at this time as He instituted the Lord's Supper. And wash the saints' feet here. One here that we know, I'm sure all 12 not documented, not maybe not verbally or physically, they all denied him. I have, as I told you, but Peter here, he washed his feet, had to force Peter to have him do it. So here's in the church, and the devil's done this. So here's an avenue. There are certain places where Satan, I believe, just has full reign. It seems like it's spreading, but we need to remember through all of this, who is, as I started out, King of Kings. God is over all of this. He's not. I was thankful to hear the other day. I'm old. I listen to talk news radio, so I'm sorry, but I heard on the radio one of the commentators mentioned, and he quoted Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun, and then he stated, "Well, I don't think God is surprised by what's happened in New York or Virginia." That's true. He's not surprised at this. He's still in control. Now, don't ask me why he's not handling it how I might handle it. It's just as well. But God is still in control, but Satan he's let loose. So we have to be aware of his wiles, his trickery, his lying in wait, wherever that may be. Now, in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul, again here, I'll start about the 13th verse. He's speaking of false apostles, for such are false apostles. You can go back and read the 11th chapter even before in its entirety. You probably have. Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So they're not apostles of Christ. They're false apostles. Deceitful workers. This is Satan working again in the church. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. Satan is. And we are to be on our guard. And just keep hanging on to the whole armor of God, both in your minds here and every day. He says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. I say again, let no man think me a fool, if otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Paul here is warning there have been times, and every minister that I know will say, don't take my word for this. You go back to your Bible. You go find Scripture for whatever is said, especially as I've been in this situation, didn't know quite what was off, but I hear something, well, that didn't quite ring true, it seemed like. And so whether or not I failed to go look it up, I probably forgot. My one of my greatest fears is saying something, trying to preach the gospel, and it's so badly worded, or maybe it's not, that someone will misunderstand, and I hope they will come and talk to me. I know people who were at church and hadn't been back since because they thought the preacher said something, and I was there, and he hadn't. And so I pray, and remember Satan and his wiles here. Now, in Romans, the 7th chapter, I believe it is, Romans chapter 7. Yes, chapter 7 of Romans. So we have the wiles of Satan. I'm pointing out where some of these things are. We have certainly within ourselves when he tempts us and so forth, but we're to stand in the power of God and use his strength. And then we see in the church it taking place. Judas, devil was there. Put in the heart of Judas. And then as ministers, we have to be, so there's no risk. When I say, well, all we have to do, since Jesus Christ completed his work on the cross, all we have to do is X, that's a lot to do in there. But we can do it in our lives knowing the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he has put away all of that. Maybe I'd do better if I thought, no, I've got to do this so that I'll be in heaven. but I don't. I'm thankful for that peace that we have in Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, around the 18th verse, Paul is talking about this warfare here, really. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. I'm glad he worded that way. That is in my flesh, parenthetically. His soul and spirit is righteous, dwelleth no good thing. For to do will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not that I do. So he's and I see that I try to do something, I try to do good, and I wouldn't do that, but I do that I shouldn't in my life. I find now if I do that I would not, it is no more that, I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Very familiar verse there. When I do good, evil is present with me. We can't throw that aside. We have that until these bodies are changed. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There is the power of God. That's where we draw upon God's power to withstand the wiles of the devil, of all the trickery, and to put on the whole armor of God and not just part of it. It's the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members, the law of my mind. So again, this is a battle. This is a warfare in our minds here. And we are to, when we are successful, when I have stood on the power and strength of Almighty God and made it through something, then I've then glorified God. I've done that, the times that as I'm trying to pray and as I'm saying my prayer, and at the time I'm saying the words, I'm thinking there's no way that God is going to do this. But I know He's able. I know He can bless. We're taught to pray for for our governments and our leaders and all. I think it was today. Yeah, Brother Keith did that. Now going back to Ephesians chapter 6. We have it within ourselves, as Paul demonstrated. Paul demonstrated in the church, in the Lord's Supper there, in with the apostles, and then in the ministers, everywhere. Although we're to avoid places of evil that we know, you see the sign on the door, we know that place right there is evil. You know not to go in. But even among the very people that have been made saints and priests to God, we have to have on the whole armor of God. Going back to Ephesians 6, So I'll read this again, go on to the next verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That last phrase in that song is stand in Him, stand in Christ, in the power of Christ alone. Not in my power. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Again, this is not a physical warfare, physical battle, to put on this armor to protect ourselves. We do that. If you have a burglar alarm in your house, we have locks on our doors, and whatever that may be, whether or not we carry a weapon, or we God gave us a mind, a brain, to figure things out and to be safe, protect our families. But that's not what this is talking about, not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. This is a spiritual battle here. Spiritual wickedness in high places. We have, and again, we can see documented here in multiple other places. I don't have time. It won't take the time. You can find them. Examples of where Satan has gotten a hold of someone, or they have actually withstood the wile successfully. I think of Daniel that prayed for 3 weeks I don't know what point in that time I think, well, I might as well forget it. God's just not hearing me. He's not going to answer my prayer. Or maybe he has said no. But then he sent a messenger to Daniel and spoke to him. And so that and we can find numberless other places in God's word, examples of that. So in our as I've said before, we need to pray not only that God bless us in our churches, but in our families, our homes, which is our families, our marriages. That's so important. Think how miraculous that is, a marriage. When I first began to get up and try to open services and so forth, and still thinking, well, I'm just a deacon and I'm just opening services. But anyway, I would say that speak of the miracle of marriage, and I quit saying this after 34 years, but I used to say, well, two people like me and Kathy, two selfish people get together. That's work. We've been living by ourselves doing what we want. I feel certain that everything that I want and how I want it run is not how it does not coincide with hers. But even in things like that in our day-to-day lives, much more so the spiritual aspect of our homes that are in disarray. And Satan will tear apart his trickery. He lies in wait right there. And so we need when we leave this place and drive to our homes, then we need to still, not again, but still have on the whole armor of God. 13th verse, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So having done all to stand. I confess my failings at that. I haven't done all to stand. I think, okay, I'll put this and this and this on God, and He'll protect me, and I realize I see all that, but I'll do this and this, and I'll be okay, and then maybe I'm not. Or maybe through His mercy and His grace, then I'm fine through it. I hope I look back and thank God for that. So to withstand, that's to resist, to withstand. And he has that word between 13 and 14 verse. He says stand, I think, three times in here. Withstand and then stand. And remember, with physical armor. Just come back to, I'll do as Jesus was my example. And in talking to Nicodemus about being born again, naturally, I've spoken to you in natural terms. A soldier that goes out to battle. Number one, that soldier values his armor. He's not going to go out without it, whatever that armor is. He values that. He doesn't just put on part of. If he wants to come back from the battlefield alive or unharmed, he's going to put on all the armor. If he heads out to battle and he realizes, oh, I forgot my shield or my sword or whatever it is, he's going to go back and get it, as he values that. Would that I value the whole armor of God with the same respect. I got to have all of it. But it's since I have already been given all the complete fruit of the Spirit. Why would I put on the whole armor of God if I didn't have evidence through faith that the armor of God would even assist me? But I believe it does. I've seen it. I believe it because I've been shown that. I've had physical, real evidence in my life of that, of fighting these spiritual battles. So that soldier, he values it. How much value does he place on it? Well, it's his life, not being injured or killed in battle. And so we're the same way. I don't want to get injured, and I like easy stuff and all. So then he says here, stand therefore. There are seven, like I said, seven parts here to this whole armor. And I'm not going to go through all this, but I wanted to make the point and emphasize to you all that we are to be aware. I think of it on being certainly on freeways here or going to Houston or wherever it is that we have to be aware of everything. We've got to pay attention. So many people I see, you know, they're on their phones texting or doing something while driving 70, and others stopped at a red light on their phone, the light turns green, they don't go. That's just frustration on my part. But so then I have to put on the mind of Christ in that instance. In the safety, we need to be aware of our surroundings. I was told recently we had a robbery at our Kroger right there outside our gate at our neighborhood, and they had the police chief at Arlington had advised at a town hall when I went to that you step out the door and you pause a minute and you look around. And chances are, if that guy that's fixing to mug you out there sees you doing that, and especially if you catch his eye, he won't do it. They want to be seen and all. But if you notice him, just stop a minute and pause. I think I need to stand still and see God Almighty. I need to pause and see where right now in my life is Satan lying in wait. Where is his wiles in my life? And I certainly already do pray for all of you that you are successful in that, because it's hard. So stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And he goes down in here, and he'll end up here in the 18th verse. He sums it all up. He adds this seventh thing, seven of completeness. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. There it is in a nutshell. And pray. I know that you all know that prayer works. I have no doubt that you all know that. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You've expressed it. And so that is part of that whole armor of God. I can't simply, though, pray if I don't have my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Then I probably wouldn't even get down to the 18th verse to pray. If I don't have it shod with that, I wouldn't believe, well, what good is prayer going to do? But if I go through these others, I will do that. I'll be blessed to do that. Now, in 1 Peter, the first chapter, try to wrap this up. First Peter chapter 1, Peter words it here, 13th verse, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So gird up the loins of your mind. That's what this is talking about. Get a grip on your thoughts and your mind and stand, having done all we can do. Now in his salutation up right here on this same page, the beginning of 1 Peter, in the second verse, the end of that, after the colon, says, "Grace unto you and peace be multiplied." But real quickly, if I jump to the first chapter of 2 Peter, he says something similar. Second verse, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through." Oh, he's going to tell me how. I want to know how to multiply grace and peace through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. More knowledge we gain, the more peace and grace. It's going to be multiplied. He says it right there. It's God saying it, inspired word of God through Peter. So we're to gird up the loins of our mind because our heart is fine. I know that many times David's prayers, and all, saying, make within me a clean heart. He's talking about this sin he had just committed, Bathsheba and everything. He knew within himself his heart had already been changed from a heart of stone to a soft, a fleshy heart, where God then wrote his laws in there. And at that point then, he gave to him King David, as he has us being kings and priests unto God, he gave to him the entire fruit of the Spirit there, and gave him the ability to put on the whole armor of God. Now it's up to me whether or not I do that. I've seen the blessings in it. I've seen the value in the whole armor, as soldiers do. And yet I still fail. And so, and I'll say, you know, if the Apostle Paul can commend and say, tell a church, I thank my God for every remembrance of you and commend them for what they were doing as encouragement there, then I believe I can do that, being also a minister of the gospel, though, that in a good way, it's like I'm never apart from you all. We communicate electronically during the week and all, and we call and we talk. We're here at least twice a week. If there's more work to be done, we come out even more and all, but we're together, and that's a help. We're trying to struggle to get through life. We know what's at the end of our natural life, and that's our eternal life will go on. We will see in that very instant Jesus Christ. You're not, just because maybe you've just started coming to a church or to the church, or you've quit coming, you will be right there. I will have no better view of Jesus Christ, my Redeemer and your Redeemer, than you will. Don't ever think that here we're trying to make it some levels of heaven. I believe as innumerable to us, at least, not to God, but as massive of a crowd showing the preeminence of Jesus Christ that will be there in heaven, bodies, souls, and spirits, then we will. I don't think there will be a time that we won't be able to lay eyes on our Savior Jesus Christ. We'll be able to see Him, and I don't know what heaven will be like other than I will be satisfied. So if I can't see Him, if I'm wrong, then I'll still be satisfied. I have to be content here, content with what God's given me and content with my surroundings, but in doing that, put on that whole armor of God, having done all, because I'll see Him one day to get through. And yes, life has picked up speed for us. It seems like it's just going so fast. In some ways, depending on how I get confused thinking about it, that's good. I want it to go on. I just assume Jesus Christ just come again, but only God knows that time. But in the meantime, He's here. He's here with us. He's in your homes. He'll bless you in raising your families. He'll bless you in being a family. God can even conquer the things that this nation has brought upon herself. He can do that. But if not, evildoers will wax worse and worse. It is of no surprise whatsoever to God. He doesn't even have a shocked expression, if you will. He knows it all. And the fact that He is the one that knows whether I will be still walking this earth or whether or not Jesus will come again during my lifetime, He knows that. I don't have to be concerned with that. But to get through this life, I want to honor and glorify Him. I want to follow His commandments because He's told us to do this and do it in mercy and in love, putting on the mind of Christ. May God bless and keep you. It's my prayer. Amen. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church.